Hi friends, today we will study this chapter 9 primary data overall under the subject of marketing research. I am Professor Ashish Hathi who is going to take you through this particular chapter. So let's begin. First and foremost, let's define the objective. We need to understand various methods of collecting information. I am sure friends, as on today, while we came to this chapter, we have numerous times discussed primary and secondary data as a method of collection, which is very important aspect of any marketing research subject. So what I am trying to say is that we will understand the way you collect primary data, understand various techniques of computation. So linked to that, there are various techniques that is used to do certain computation, and understand the methods of questioning. So things to do with the question, questionnaire, etc. That's what we will try to understand. So, what is primary data? Is the data observed or collected directly from the respondent? Earlier, we have understood exploratory and decision making and descriptive research or causal research or experiment, etc. They all are the ways in which you collect what you call primary data. So, therefore, it is written observed or collected. So, survey is a collected directly method for the data collection. This is done when you do not have an answer from the secondary research. Secondary data when collected does not give you required decision making inference, and that's the reason why you have started or you decide to do a primary research. So that's the stage where primary data come into picture. So we are talking about a decision already made that you will need a primary survey or primary research conducted. In that you are collecting the primary data. So that's why the term primary data. In primary data collection means collection, the what is happening is that collects the information using the techniques, various designs that we have earlier studied. Under designs, there are methodologies and techniques. You do that, and we will specially emphasize on the survey questioning, which is an important aspect of it. So we will separately study them. Data is important for various inferences. So data will, when collated, throws the information. Information when studied will give you an inference, and that inference is the thing that you look for in your any private research. So primary data has a special significance because it is used as a data where the survival of the marketeers are dependent. The decisions are taken, the inferences that primary data give, based on which marketeer takes the decision. And he always expects a successful outcome of his decision. Primary data always provides the latest information. It's done at a particular point of time when you are facing a particular problem, which is a part of your research problem. Therefore, it is supposed to have a most latest information for you. All secondary data sources and all have some time lag. It's a past data which is available to you. So that's one more important advantage. A primary data is collected by the researcher focusing on the research objective. So the data collection has a research problem hypothesis. From there, the objectives are well defined, and primary data attempts to collect those relevant data. When analyzed, will answer the research objective or the will either validate or reject the hypothesis. So that's the overall relationship between various things that we have studied earlier. There are popular ways of collecting primary data. So survey we have kind of understood earlier, personal interviews we have understood, focus groups we have understood, observations, there are various ways of observation we have understood. Case studies, diaries, etc. are some of the other methodologies of collecting data. Case studies is nothing but essentially you try to do the build certain scenarios and you try to collect information related to that, and then you try to infer out of it. Diaries are nothing but the tool that you ask the people, participant, respondents to maintain, and when you study those movements of what they have written, it could be quantitative information, it could be purchase information, it could be feeling, expression, whatever. So then when you do that, you arrive at certain conclusive inference. So that's the diary as a method. What is critical in primary data is the design of the questionnaire. So questionnaire is a tool that you have, that you take it to the respondent, and then you make him answer. It could be physical one-to-one, or it could be, as I said, through mail or telephone, or it could be standard template has been kept for you, like the hotel feedback survey, as I told you. So these are the things, but overall it is a questions and then the possible answers. You have either open-ended, close-ended questions and all. We'll probably study this as we move forward. A well-designed questionnaire solves your purpose, yeah, but questionnaire design is not merely the putting up of questions as such. Yeah, you have to have the objective in mind, yeah, what kind of answer you are seeking, which statistical technique is going to evaluate this particular question, what is the meaning of that evaluation. So then various things, either mean, median, mode has its own meaning. And so whether what are you going to use it, you know, which technique will you use and what is the inference out of it. If the standard deviation is more, as you know, that it doesn't say much about concluding points. And so that's the importance of question. So the way the question is framed, it has the back end relevance with the nature of research technique or the tool that has been used, how this analysis is going to happen and what does it mean. And it's a valid way to get an answer to specific objective that you are trying to understand. The questionnaire which includes the demographic questions, it also, there are various types. So there are certain standard things that you have to have. So demographic is very inbuilt standard, this thing. So where name, sex, size, you know, family, religion, caste, creed, color, etc., income, family income, etc. These are some of the standard questions that is there in most of the questionnaire. You also have certain satisfaction related, performance related, usage related questions, etc., which is all oriented towards meeting your research objective. Following are the steps that is required when you design any questionnaire. You have to have the objective clear in front of you. So what is the objective which the survey is commissioned? Design a questionnaire, but design questionnaire, as I earlier also said, it is not merely just writing questions. You have one objective, you write one or two or five questions related to that. No, and you have to also have a frame of your mind which says how this question needs to be framed. So that when I put this into an analysis mode, will I get a mean of it, will I get a median of it, deviation or rank correlation, what is it? That is what you have to have in mind, and what is the meaning of it, that meaning, that is that meaning answers some or one of my objective or not. That's what the writing of a questionnaire, administering the questionnaire, is actual execution. So when the research is implemented, when research is carried out, that's what the administration of the questionnaire and interpretation of the result. And administration of the questionnaire also has certain components like pre-taste of the questionnaire, etc. So you ensure that you do it in a limited number, you get satisfied yourself, and then you launch it for the full-fledged research. So these are some of the steps that one need to be familiar about. As we move forward, we will understand them a little better. So first is that defining the objective. So objective of the survey conveys what needs to be found out. So you have an object, you have defined a research problem, translated the hypothesis there, you have devised objectives linked to that, and now the objectives answer that you are trying to find out. So the questionnaire has a direct relevance to this. That's the reason why you have to have the objective in front of you. From the research problem, I have mentioned that you have a research problem. We have studied and understood well what is research problem. Management, remember, management questions or management dilemma converted into management problem, and then management problem translated into research problem. So that's the thing that I'm talking about. It therefore helps in raising relevant questions in a way that you get the focus gathering of the required right information. So right question, right answer, not the question wrongly framed to get that answer, etc. So you may get same thing can be asked in many ways, as they say. So you have to have a right idea as to how this question needs to be probed, or how this objective needs to be, for this objective, what are the answers that you need, and for that you then try to raise the question. Unwarranted information should not be asked, and there is always a apprehension. Research agency and clients are most of the time at loggerheads. Even in my life I have seen, Array, you are conducting a research, why don't you even ask this? Yeah, that's what client most often says, and you feel it's irrelevant, it may burden and interviewer may or the respondent may partially get switched off and may not answer or may drop this, etc. So there are many hassles to that. Avoid unwarranted information probing, and proper it's also the questionnaire is done in such a way, not only the formation, it should also facilitate what the answers that you have given. Proper codification and all should be facilitated, and so it should be framed in such a manner. Continuing to understand the designing part of questionnaire, as I said, while you write the questionnaire, there are certain aspects, and it should be lucid, simple, to the point, clarity of questions, and the way you have asked same should be understood by the interviewer and by the respondent, etc. There should not be ambiguity. There should not be different way of interpretation to the question that you have asked, etc. Those are the things that you have to basics keep in mind. There are two basic methods to questions, questioning. You provide an open-ended questions, as they say, or you have a closed-ended questions. So open-ended questions are, it's open-ended. So there is no end to it. It has been asked, it has been framed in such a way that respondent has an independence, respondent has a freedom to answer what he wants to answer, what he feels like answering. That's the meaning of open-ended questions. There is no predetermined response. It is like a response which is freely coming from the participant, freely coming from the respondent. Open-ended questions are good for soliciting the subjective data where you want in-depth understanding, etc. Opinions are needed. Causes you want to understand, reasoning you want to know, etc. So further to understand open-ended questionnaire related subject are a few disadvantages. So we have understood how does the open-ended questionnaire helps, but the disadvantage the question asked could be understand, the respondent can understand it differently, and therefore his answer could be at a different level altogether. Being open may drive from core issue, and it will probably take away the core issue out of discussion, and many other aspects could be discussed or answered, etc. Cannot be tabulated, so you are not able to statistically analyze it. Need more time and thought thinking about the part of respondents. Responders would like to spend time to think what to answer, how to answer, what to say, what not to say, etc. So it's like little time consuming, not free of any influences or bias. Despite whatever you try, some biases will come in. Respondents, it's like up to the nature of question that you asked, how the respondents feel about it, what he overall sees the design as, and then he tries to answer you. So that's the disadvantage of the primary data using an open-ended questionnaire. May not get the right core parameter understood. So you are not getting the right parameter-based data or understanding, because each respondent is answering, though the questionnaire is same, though the listing points are same, you have indicated to them the scenario, you have indicated to them what you are trying to derive at, but it's like the way they speak about certain subjects that may not give you the critical idea about essential things that you need to have to really infer something out of your research using an open-ended questionnaire kind of approach. A closed-ended question, they are like a type of a question which doesn't allow any thinking on the part of respondents. And they are supposed to, of course, think and answer within given options. And that's what this is all about. There are certain obvious answers, multiple in nature, are being provided there. The respondent is supposed to answer from that. Respondent is supposed to tick that specific what the respondent has answered. So for a larger questionnaire which tests the opinion on a very large number of items, there may be longer series of questions to get to know about behavior and attitude. The one aspect is like closed-ended, this thing is you may have to therefore to get a little better idea, divide a longer question into shorter questions. So therefore you may have to ask a little more nature of questions, which is not the case when it comes to the open-ended questions. However, the beauty of it is like within the given frame of options, the respondent is supposed to answer you. So you are able to really judge how the things are. So there cannot be any contrary answer or obvious, you know, it really states you, like if your answer is yes, then answer this. If answer is no, then answer this, etc. So it really takes you in a right manner to extract what is there in you. So that's the beauty of closed-ended questions. Closed-ended questions offers many advantages in terms of its time, money, etc. Speed can be better. You are able to probably do less samples and you are able to still extract the right analysis that you need. Hard statistical data can be pursued using, and you can really get statistical validity of various questions that has been asked. The question itself is designed keeping the techniques, statistical analysis methods, techniques, or the tool that you are going to use, and that's how there's all linkage to ensure that the error is minimal and you are able to generalize your data to the population. That's why you generally do your research. So that's the beauty of closed-ended questions. There are like few aspects that one need to consider while designing the questionnaire. So one is the clarity, which is you have to write clearly what you want to ask, and no ambiguity. Leading questions, so there are certain lead questions, lead and leg, and there is some main question to which there is deriving question. So your main objective to which you have supported objective, or like to get an answer to your main objective, you have to probably answer certain questions before and then arrive at a main question. So there's a concept called there's a lead question that should be understood well. So what is your primary question and what are the supportive questions? That clarity has to be there. Phrasing, which is a use of words or the statement formation, etc. Or personal questions need to be asked little carefully, and otherwise the respondent gets put off or he might not start giving you right answers, etc. Avoid hypothetical questions like situation based, and a scenario based, you really cannot get into a close-ended questionnaire at least. So, and why should have one should have that kind of a thing, except when you are using those projective techniques, etc., which has a scientific base to it. And otherwise avoid asking hypothetical questions, remove prestige bias, etc. So question should not be framed in such a way that it puts the prestige of the respondent in his own eye at a lower level. So then in that case he will not really come out with the right answer. So you have to frame a question in a way that he feels aligned to answer that kind of questions, etc. So that's the prestige bias as a issue one need to know. Designing, we are just understanding that the more clear the question, the better it is. So what I'll do is I'll probably get into giving you a better idea of only relevant and core issues and frequently ask, so there's an example given, how frequently do you use dental floss? So you have one side very often, sometimes, rarely, never. These are so obvious, so open to anybody's conclusion. Instead, the better way to ask that has been represented on the right hand side, every day or more, 2 or 5 times a week, once a week, once a month, never, you are able to get a quantification, allowing that flexibility, but there is a quantification that is possible. So that's what even the option that you give in the question asked, in the closed-ended question especially, you have to be more careful that you don't allow vagueness to be in that. So that's the essence of the clarity when I say everything has to be even a word. The options that you give, etc., should be so well structured. Leading questions, as I told you, that was one of the points. Leading question is one which implies to certain types of answer needs to be avoided. You probably avoid too many leading questions because it generally indicates that this is where or this towards this you are trying to seek an answer, etc. It is presented in such a manner that biased opinion emerges as a choice of answer. Are very limited. So is Dell laptop provided with superior CAD interface, superb, excellent, great, good, fair, not so good, is a not so right way. Instead, you have just yes or no. So in this superior CAD interest, you again don't want various other superlatives or adjectives to come in. It is either yes or no. So that's what you have to kind of ensure. that's the meaning of this point called in the question and design, the leading question, that one need to really be clear about phrasing. As I told you, it has to do with how you frame your questions, the verbs, the various adjectives, etc., that you bring in. A childlike versus childish. So that's I'm just giving you some of the examples. Do you agree with the government's plan to oppose Telangana state? Or the right way to put in, do you agree with the government's plan to curtail development of new Telangana state? Or what do you think about government's plan to oppose Telangana state formation? They all have probably a different answer. So you as a researcher should know what is the nature of answer that you are seeking in. So that's what one must be very careful about. Avoid multiple meaning words or difficult words within your questionnaire, so that interpretation remains what you expect the question to convey, and then therefore the answer that you get is also aligned to the kind of answer that you are seeking. Personal questions, embarrassing questions should be avoided. No questions which person doesn't want to answer or generally hesitant to answer should be there. Like income is one aspect right from beginning of those days. So researchers have found ways, and so they have grouped the now the brackets which are based on the classification government of middle income, low income, etc. Earlier, I remember when I started, there was a what is your annual income, and then the blank. The respondent used to really wonder, why should I answer this, kind of thing. And personal products, physical aspects, etc., should be all avoided. Hypothetical question, when I say, why ask a question which is not really required, should be avoided. Even either an open or a closed-ended questions, you are unlikely to get the right response any which way, because it's a hypothetical question. You are asking consumer to answer certain hypothetical questions. He will also be hypothetical about answering you. It has no statistical validity, honestly. Prestige bias, as I told you, tendency among respondents to answer which makes them feel better, or not answer where they feel not so good. I have earlier told you that something which is adversely affecting their prestige in their own eyes, their answering will be different. Or people want to answer which puts them on a higher pedestal in terms of respondent. People are not lying but does not want to caught either on account of their right conditions or reveal their ignorance, etc. So those are the areas where they tend to answer you not so right. So while you frame this thing, whether your question or options have this kind of possibility, one need to be really careful about. Election campaign time survey, when you do, so that's what people are not lying to you, but they does not want to get caught wrongly, or they does not want to get caught if they are not in line with the popularity, this thing. Because when the election this thing is happening, you are meeting a respondent at a time when probably he has discussed with 10 others as to whom he has voted, etc., and therefore he will try to then give you that kind of an answer. Techniques of personal data collection, etc., is to be made as much as impersonal in nature, so that you are going to get that. So as I told you, that many times those projective techniques and all help, wherein the person thinks that he is not answering about himself, but actually what is in his mind gets revealed when he completes the task assigned. Administering the questionnaire, as I told you, it has to do with the entire set of data collection that you do. I have also made you realize, or probably not been putting out here, is that a pre-test, etc. So right from designing to like actually pre-testing and then administering the actual step of data collection to fulfill your sampling population need. So what is the sample size that you decided? Mode of administration, like questionnaires can be self-administered or filled by the respondents, etc. We have studied that earlier, so I'm not like personal interview, telephoning, all those things are the part of administration of a questionnaire. So that's the must ensure that it is complete, must back check, must have ensure that it is coded correctly, etc. These are some of the aspects of questionnaire administration. Mode of administration, directly administered interview, following care needs to be taken. So if it is an interview, present a question exactly as it is, repeat question if necessary, do not induce or indicate what is the general answer coming, etc. Do not self-conclude or presume, let the respondent only tell you. all the question must be asked, yeah, so that's what is the essence of the questionnaire, yeah, because if anything which is left incomplete, it may have a resulting impact on your analysis. So one need to ensure that entire questionnaire is completed. Following aspects that needs to be considered while administering, like as to you need to know who will record the answer. So whether respondent himself or the interviewer is supposed to, etc. Method, yeah, so whether it is a mail, personal, telephonic, what it is, yeah, etc. Time that is required, knowledge level of the respondent that is essential, who is eligible to answer. But that gets covered in the sampling unit that you define. More of an open-ended or a closed-ended question. So at each stage, what should be the care that the interviewer should take, etc., should be known to him. Validation of the questionnaire. So you have done some pre-test, etc. The response variable, how will it get interpreted by the analyst? So that's what I told you. When you design a questionnaire, the analysis part is very much in the mind of the designer, because he is one who makes or breaks, because analyst will see that question the way it is answered in his own way. Now, you can't say, okay, why this guy being different, he can do the way he wants, and the questionnaire guy who formed it can do it in his own way. No, both have to sync in together. So that's the reason why the questionnaire designing guys are already like tuned or educated or skilled enough to know as to what is that statistical method or analysis that he's going to use to derive the answer, and that answer has a valid statistical inference out of it. Yeah. So that's how he will frame the question. Analysis interpretation. So having done this, etc., you have got the information. Now you have to infer, and then the inferred information has to be presented. Different presentation modes and all, as we probably go ahead, we will study, and there is one chapter on that. Innovation is the order of the day. How you present is very critical. Inference and interpretation is a base of statistics. Yeah, statistics findings meaning something. Standard deviation being high, it has some meaning. Standard deviation not being high means overall answer correlates or overall answer is aligned with what the sample or the population means, etc. But if the deviation is high, means that overall this is the average, but there is a possibility of a swing here and there. Yeah. So that's what, so how this is to be interpreted is a very critical, but yes, the statisticians are meant to be good interpreter, because they will study various aspects and then give their views on what it conclusively means. Yeah. What we are now coming to is the various standard methods for certain regular nature of research that has been done. Yeah. So one such is the attitude measurement. So attitude measurement is been practiced by people many times, yeah. So attitude measurements like is a predisposition. What is my attitude? Attitude is my predisposition. I am what I am today because I have certain experience in past, and that's what has concluded me. That so my attitude towards public display of affection or my attitude towards nudity in film, etc. This is what is in me because of what I am, what my experiences are, what I have learned, what I have socially or culturally felt or being taught about, etc. So that's what is that. So now this is the methodology of a primary data collection which factors disposition understanding. So now how to do this, Yan? So what this is, attitude, as I told you, structure of beliefs, likes, dislikes, readiness to the product, etc. So customer attitude is a very important aspect that the marketeers want to know. Attitudes are person's general evaluation. He evaluates things in his general way. That's the essence of the attitude. It helps you to explain the willingness. So the basic attitude gives the marketer an idea what is his basic willingness. Do not change over a period of time. It's hard that my attitude on something which is today is this and tomorrow is this. Yes, over a period of time it may change. So say for example, the nudity in the film, in my era versus today, I have like believed myself and I have accepted that there's nothing wrong in it now. But if had this been 20 years back, I would have glorified myself. I would have been shocked, yeah, like, why such things are happening in the film. So that's what is that, as they say, that it changes over time. attitudes are an integral part of the consistency of the behavior. My attitude drives my say behavior. So there is a consistency of it, yeah, till it changes. Yeah, so the change also will then result into certain different types of consistency, etc. Related to the preferences. Yeah, so attitude builds my preference. Yeah, there is more to it as we go into consumer buyer behavior area, which is not the subject matter of this. But they directly relate your preference. And you will prefer something which is out of your, say, attitude, personality, as they say. So that's what is one important aspect that one need to really understand about attitude research. In primary data, this attitude measurement is one method that marketing research fraternity has developed. What are the issues or the methods of attitude measurements are like self-reporting. So it's not the issues actually. It's a method of attitude measurement. Self-reporting means you will yourself report certain attitudinal aspects. So you are being asked about it and you will self-report your views on that. Observation of behavior. The second is the observation. You will be observed and your attitude will be monitored. Third is the indirect techniques. You don't know that you have been observed and you have been, your attitude is somebody is trying to analyze and understand. Performance of objective task. So you are given certain tasks. What you do, how you do, etc. reveals your attitude. Physiological behavior, body language versus what is in mind, or say so mind and body language sync, etc. All this reflects your attitude. So that's another approach. There's another method of studying your attitude. And then multiple measures. There are many other ways by which the attitude can be really studied about individuals. I have tried putting them out here. I will go to something which is important for us to understand. Performance of the objective task. So performance is linked to attitude. Here one person will be exposed to both sides of the product and service, and what will be final decision, that will reveal about his attitude. Physiological behavior, deep belief like readiness shapes your attitude. So that's attitude is a deep result of deep belief. Through stimuli, respondents will be asked to take best call. So that's what you have been put into or something is presented to you, and then how you react on it, that will reveal your psychological aspect. So that's the one of the methods. Multiple measures, ways to ask same questions differently or ask different questions to arrive at same understanding, etc. So that's what is possible when certain research designs of attitude measurements are practiced. Technique can be divided into following two manners. So there are non-disguised attitude measurement, there are disguised non-structured techniques. So we will study this attitude measurements little better. There are overall there are four techniques we need to understand. These are the two covered out here. Under each of them there will be subsets. So we will get into understanding this little better. So first is a non-disguised, non-structured. So there is a level of disguise and there is a level of being structured. Within this, the various methods have evolved. First is non-disguised, non-structured is a focus group and in-depth interviews. We have covered about them. Now you look at it from the attitude measurement side and look at it from that non-disguised, non-structured. Means there is no disguise there. There is nothing is hidden. Respondent exactly know for which product, for what purpose, etc. they are coming. And it is like, it's been done in a manner where there is a bit of a freedom focus group. There is always a moderator led. So it's not so well structured necessarily. In-depth interviews are also like there are more open-ended questions. Therefore, it has been put under non-structured. Disguise non-structured techniques. Here there is some disguise. So that's a word association that we have understood, or story completion, sentence completion, or pictorial techniques, or that cartoon, etc. Those are disguise. You are not exactly knowing why that has been put in front of you. You attempt and you do it, And it is also non-structured, yani, because it's, there is no solid structure to it, yani. It all lives, based on the ability of the interpreter to make a meaning out of it. Third is the non-disguised structured techniques, yani. So here I think you don't see many points, yani, because it's very simple, yani. Questionnaire and those kind of things come under non-disguised, yani. There is no disguise and there is a proper structuring of the entire things, and then the disguised structured techniques, yani. So disguised structured technique is like it is overall a structured, but the way things are asked, the way things are, the scale that has been used, yani, that's a kind of a disguise, yani. So ordinary scale, the interval scales, the ratio scales, these are those scales that they use during the disguising of your questions, yani, how you are to give an answer to, yani. Graphical rating scales, multiple item scales, which includes Likert scale, etc., and a nominal scale. So these are the ways by which scales are the one is to the way you represent your questions and the answer to that, various ways that you can do it. And these are some of those six ways. Yani. But to a respondent, he doesn't really read between the lines. But you have a more meaning coming out of it, the way it has been structured, and therefore it is put under like being disguised, but a very structured technique. So friends, I have covered some of the design aspects of research earlier. We have just covered what is non-disguised, non-structured, in which I have mentioned focus group discussion. We have discussed this, but briefly, it's a subject of research where you want to understand certain focus subject and a focus issues where you want to really understand what people collectively think about, etc. That's the time when focus group discussion kind of thing is practiced. And purpose is not to be secretive. You want to have a discussion based collective group kind of findings, because you are going to apply this finding to a societal level, to like a common behavioral level, etc. That's why instead of asking it individually, the FGD is generally done. Yani. However, the discussion needs to be moderated. It cannot be a free-flying discussion. So, having done that, yani, researcher will moderate the discussion. There is a video camera or audio recording, or even many times the behaviorologist sit outside, sit behind the glass wall, and they observe the body languages of individuals, etc. And they collectively then with this, they try to figure out what the overall discussion means to the research objective. Yani. Video recordings are all commonly practiced while you do the FGDs. Yani. Characteristics like you put your issue before the participants, allow the people to talk. Generally, 10 members maximum are there. They are not necessarily deeply introduced to each other because you want to retain their individuality. Having done that, the conversation is triggered. Moderator role is to first encourage. Then the moment he sees that discussion is going somewhere, he tries to moderate. He will not restrict or tell very upfront manner, but he will raise a question or he will put his point, and then he will try to bring back the discussion to one particular point and then move this forward area. There are many other tools are available today in the digital world to capture this better, so that behaviorologists can really get deep into it and do. In-depth interviews we have studied, yani, so I'll probably be very quick out here, but it's like a free expression when you want to encourage people's opinion to come to you in a better manner, etc. You do that. Nowadays, this digital technology, the Skype or, you know, WebEx or that video conferencing tools, etc., are allowing this to happen in a much better manner. You have recording facilities available and all, so that you can interpret these findings better. These are some of the things, and it brings out the past recent experience or the latent needs, and it unearths these aspects, and a skillful probing when done will cover a hidden aspect, yani, which is there in the mind or inside that individual, conducted in most conducive manner, yani, so areas, environment, etc., the place of interview, various things are prefixed, time, etc., However, it is time consuming and very difficult to analyze. There is no statistical this thing to most of the open ended questions, etc. Expensive because limited number can be done, but you probably spend more than the quantitative data collection, etc. Interviewer who's doing that interview, bias also can come in, and because he's been hearing this for 1, 2, 10, 20, and therefore like he builds his opinion. That's what he tries to bring in when he's like kind of putting things, etc. Research objective led discussion, if it happens, fine. Otherwise, many times it moves away from the research objective. Structured questionnaire uses a cascading approach. Start with external, then internal, then psychological. So the way it has been generally done, allow him to talk about environment, then it gets a bit internal, and then without him really realizing, a lot of psychological hidden aspects are probed. Skillful interviewer must also probe the conflicting aspects. So while he is freely expressing himself, you will find certain conflicting aspects. Now it is the interviewer's responsibility to find the meaning behind such conflicts. So he need to probe that. He cannot be a mute listener. That's what it is. He will need to constantly understand what is the respondent trying to say, and then find out the gaps or a conflict, contradiction, get a clarity.